the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Unfortunately, we had a part one, a preview show for Rant and Wrestling. Unfortunately, it didn't record. I don't know why the machine lied to me, but it did. But this is episode 82 of Rant and Wrestling. I am Pootie KD, joined here by the Queen of World Champions. He's here for part two, quote unquote. This is Doomsday. I'm sorry, man.
Yep, I'm back at it again.
Technology. We did a preview of NXT TakeOver Respect, and now we are going to do the aftermath. Good thing we had two parts. We would have been screwed. We would have been done for. Okay. So, NXT TakeOver Respect just happened. We just finished watching it, the whole show. We're going to go match by match and talk about each match that happened. The first match that started off the show, which was booked by me, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe, going up against the Mechanics of Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Tournament semifinal round. Finn Balor and Samoa Joe did win that match. Finn Balor had the injured leg coming out of that match, and it looked like they was going to show tension by the tag. He was like, "Yo, tag me in." I said, "Tag me in." And got the tag, did the coup de grace, muscle buster combo for the 1-2-3. Actually, not a bad opener, I'd say, but I was hoping the Mechanics were going to win and they was going to have a fallout of Balor and Joe. I guess we watched too much wrestling because none of that happened.
None of it. Not a goddamn thing.
Not a hint in sight. We were completely wrong, and that's great. We want to be wrong because we keep seeing the same thing every time. From this company, but not NXT. Finn Balor and Samoa Joe wins. You got any thoughts on the match there, Doomsday?
Yeah, it was alright, I guess.
Yeah, like, it was nothing really.
There wasn't really anything special besides the whole, Balor getting, like being injured through most of the match thing. But
And what that hinted was, that they were going to lose the second match, so people didn't know if the guy's leg was going to be okay.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, if they win this one, they're definitely going to have tension in the second round.
Yeah, exactly.
But before they get to the second round, the match of the night at first, for me, Baron Corbin and Rhino going up against Jason Jordan and Chad Gable.
Yeah.
I said this was the best tag team match at an NXT TakeOver.
Yeah. It was. It definitely was.
I was blown away by these four. Chad Gable and Jason Jordan really stood out to me.
Yep.
These guys worked really, really hard. And so did Baron Corbin and Rhino. Rhino got his shit in. Most of it was Baron Corbin. And, I mean, everybody started chanting to Gable, the Kurt Angle chant.
Yeah.
He was doing the whole Gable. First of all, how many chants did they start?
It started a lot of chants. I felt like the crowd just wanted to chant for it. Like, it's like that crowd was like, all right, we're just going to chant the whole event. It's like not even a bad thing, but it's not like a great thing either. The fact that it's kind of like, oh, they're making it about themselves again, but it was still kind of cool to see hear that Chad Gable chant though.
Right. And they were chanting the whole show, but something that I brought up to my friend that I was talking to on Kick, and I was like, these fans aren't slowing down. These fans are been up since the first match, the second match, the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Yeah.
This crowd did not die out. It never died out, and it was hyped for the whole show, the entire show. Yeah, but Baron Corbin and Rhino did defeat Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, unfortunately.
Still a great, really great match.
Yeah, definitely. A fantastic tag match. Yeah. But I think a lot of people were banking for Jason Jordan and Chad Gable to win, not only us, but people on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
They wanted the guys to win, but Baron Corbin and Rhino will face Finn Balor and Samoa Joe in the finals. The next match is Dana Brooke, the Total Diva, going up against Kana Asuka, and she had a nice little ovation there with Dana Brooke slapping her in the face, and everybody's like, you fucked up. I thought that was pretty fun. I thought that was pretty fun, because she indeed fucked up. She did, and Asuka was really fast, I'm not saying that Dana Brooke was slow, but you could tell who was the fastest one out of the two. Dana Brooke got her shin in a little bit, you know, playing the heel stuff and all that. Emma got in, distraction, but Asuka looking really, really strong. Very charismatic, too, doing the whole
thing. Yeah, she was very entertaining, like imitating Dana's
posturing. That was a perfect imitation.
Yeah, it was really good, yeah.
Like,
and one thing I did like before the match, hearing her theme, I was like, thank God it's not one of those Japanese oriental inspired theme songs like they do for every goddamn Asian wrestler.
In the WWE.
Yeah.
NXT, however. I almost said teenage. NXT.
Because they did it with Hideo in like the intro to his theme. Like, they had the...
That's fine, but you could... I mean, that's just in the beginning. It's not through the whole thing.
Still, like, it is... I think, yeah, it was still unnecessary.
Like,
you know?
If you take that away, in another wrestler, it doesn't have to be Hideo, but another wrestler comes out to his theme, you wouldn't say, oh, he's from Japan. You know, unless you had that in the beginning, you know? But I don't think it's that bad. Her theme is decent for now. Maybe it might be catchy later on.
I like her theme. I like her theme.
You know, yeah, I liked her in the ring. She won with one of my favorite submissions besides the Texas Cloverleaf, the crossface kick win.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And it was locked in. I'm pretty sure they're going to call it the Connell. I mean, not the
Connell. They called it the Asuka lock. That's what Asuka. They called it. What they called it.
So she got caught in the Asuka lock. Dana Brooke tapped out like a little punk bitch, and Asuka is the winner. And when she went to the outside, and Emma was out there, and she was looking. She's like, yo, you got a problem? You want some of this?
Shook.
Emma was like, shook. Shook! Yeah. Exclamation point. She could not handle that. So, yes, Asuka, very impressive. I like it.
I like the striking and the submissions and shit that she was doing in chat. It was cool.
Right. Really cool. Next up, Apollo Crews going up against my client, Prince Pretty, Tyler Breeze. Still really good match.
It was good, yeah.
It was good. Like a nice little televised match. Like this could have been a NXT TV taping or something. You know, to close the show. Now the crowd wasn't too dead, but you know, they calmed down just a little bit in this match. A little bit. But they didn't shit on it. No, they just, yeah, it was cool. It was a nice mellow down little shit. Apollo Crews did beat Tyler Breeze, like we expected it, but I still think Tyler.
No, I actually was hoping for Breeze to win.
I was hoping for Breeze to win. I think we were all hoping Breeze was going to win.
But we, in the back of our minds, were like, yeah, they're probably going to keep the streak alive with the Apollo Crews.
Yeah, so unfortunately for Tyler Breeze. What's next for Tyler Breeze?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But the end of the match was interesting. The finisher, like he hit that transition atomic drop into a powerbomb type deal. Because he started off looking like he was about to do an atomic drop, but then he just flipped him into a powerbomb.
Right, and yeah, that was actually a really good finisher at the end. And that brings me back to the Baron Corbin, Jason Jordan, Gable, Rhino match.
Oh, that tilt-a-whirl counter into the end of days, that was insane.
Because Because I definitely thought it was going to be a DDT. I mean, that's probably what we see, you know, going around and up to his DDT, and he was just like, no, wait, end of days. And I was like, oh, wow.
Good.
Yeah, that one's a really, really good way to end that match.
That was a great one. Yeah.
But yes, Apollo Crews did win. Tyler Breeze did lose, unfortunately. The tournament finals for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, Samoa Joe and NXT Champion Finn Balor going up against Baron Corbin and Rhino. And the Dust Brothers was there. You know, vote us and start us, basically. Not in character.
Not in character.
No paint, you know, holding hands and shit.
You know what's funny? Like, when they showed up and stuff like that, and you saw Cody, like, I don't know if, like, people on YouTube and Twitter were, like, trolling or just saying some stupid shit, but they were like, oh my god, Cody's back. Now we can finally have Cody back.
Really?
Like, really? Are you stupid?
They were saying this?
Yeah, people were dumb as shit. you really gonna expect to not see Stardust come next Monday? You're gonna be very disappointed.
Right, come on, people.
But Stardust is a great character anyway. I like Stardust.
Right, nothing wrong with Stardust.
Nothing wrong with
it. He likes to do it, he wants to do it, he's having fun doing it.
Exactly.
You know, but you gotta put that aside when you talk about that man's father. This is his
memory
of him.
Yeah.
You don't want Stardust and Goldust talking all crazy, you know.
Right?
Well, this is their father that they really care about. And he was the inspiration to everyone. That's why they made this tournament for him.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would like it if I saw it again. I feel like they neglected the tag teams there.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was saying, like, look, you got a tag team tournament, dude. Like, you have guys like the Mechanics. You got guys like Jordan and Gable. You guys got all these other tag teams that are like legit tag teams. That's all they do. Utilize that if you want to make tag team wrestling important. You emphasize that these guys are teams. You got teams like Rhino and Corbin, Balor and Joe that are not only mashup teams, but they're also teams with two guys past their prime. You got guys like Rhino, and you got guys like Samoa Joe on those teams. Like, you got older dudes out here beating up the young and hungry guys. That's not okay.
The tag team, now look through this tournament now on the first round. You have Cass and Amore.
Yeah.
You know, they've been tag teaming since the jump. Dawkins and Fulton, the amateur wrestler guys. The Lucha Dragons, former NXT tag team champions. Blake and Murphy, same thing.
Yeah. Mark
Villains, same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know who Tucker Knight and Samson is. Knight and Samson.
Though that's a jobber. Like, they're a tag team, but they're a jobber tag team.
Okay. Well, the Mechanics, Dawson and Dash Wilder.
Yeah.
The Hype Bros, I mean, they're new teams, but they actually got a title and matching gear.
Yeah, exactly. So they're still a tag team.
Chikoa and Wolf, I don't know who they are. I think they're like a jobber team.
Yeah, they're a jobber tag team.
Yeah, Jason Jordan and Chad Gable made it to the semis. They're an actual tag team that's making it a thing. Neville and Crow, no. The Ascension, who were the longest tag team champions there, they couldn't beat Baron Corbin and Rhino.
Yeah.
Tyler Breeze and Bull Dempsey were just, of course, thrown together. And Gargano and Ciampa we know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, but out of all the main tag teams, they didn't make it to the semis. Except the Mechanics and Jason Jordan and Gable. That's why I wanted them to go in the finals. You know, you have these new guys, you know, not like how you said Samoa Joe and Rhino in the finals. Yes, they are well known, but still. They got these tag teams in here. They really neglect the tag team. But, I mean, it's still not too late. They established a lot. They established the singles division for the NXT Championship. That's the big deal. They established the NXT Women's Championship, which to them might be a bigger deal now. The tag team division, they got some work, but I like that they're trying. With the tag team title classic, they never, ever did anything with the tag team division. tag teams in there as an afterthought, both on the main roster and in NXT. But NXT has more promise, I'm telling you. But yes, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe did win the tag team classic, beating Baron Corbin and Rhino. Even with the injured leg of Balor, he still managed to win tonight. No tension, no breakup, no nothing. Balor and Samoa Joe, they win. You got any thoughts on the match?
Again, just like the first match of the night, it was an okay match. Wasn't really feeling it too much. It was real formulaic for the most part. So like I just give it a pass and that's it.
Okay. Yeah. The best tag team match out of that whole thing. You know what? That's no brainer. The Iron Woman match between the boss, Sasha Banks, and the champion, Bayley.
Before you really get into that, I just wanted to mention like there were some people in the audience that they spotted from time to time. Like they had Kevin Nash. One thing that was interesting who was in the audience was Funaki and Hideo Itami.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing about Hideo was that he did not look happy at all that he was in the audience. He looked pissed off.
He knows where he needs to be.
Like, I feel so bad for the dude because, like, he would have been in the position that Balor was in if he didn't get hurt.
Yes.
Because he would have ended up picking up the win in Japan.
Well, that too, and he was supposed to be in that triple threat, number one's contenders match with Finn Balor and Tyler Breeze, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's poor Deo, and he looked like that the last time when he was in Japan.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe they could go off with a story like that, you know, like he's tired of sitting down, waiting. So, I hope they have something in store for him.
And then a fan snapped a picture of some other people in the audience. I think it was, Biff Busick was definitely in the audience.
Oh, really?
And Rich Swann was in the audience as well. What? And some other people were in the audience as well that I believe are also, like, NXT trainees, so that was interesting to see. I saw it on Twitter. Yeah, it wasn't on Twitter, it was on Tumblr. I saw it on Tumblr that there was somebody that they saw. And then the other people who were spotted were, of course, Stephanie McMahon.
Front row.
Yeah, front row. Alita and who else? It was Charlotte and Becky. They were there also, so all four of them over there. And speaking of Becky, oh my God! Like when they had the little promo what's that thing called the freaking Susan G. Komen bullshit?
Yeah.
And then you see Becky's hair, and you're like, what the?
Hey, I saw a pinch of that whole Susan G. Komen. When I looked up, I saw Becky Lynch, and that hair was everywhere.
Yeah, I was like, no, because, like, at that point, I was like, all right, after this match, I'm going to go get something to eat and zap something real quick in the microwave. So, I was listening to the Susan G. Komen stuff going on, so I turned in for a second, and in that second that I turn around, I see Becky's nasty-ass hair, and I'm like, good Lord Almighty, somebody... Who let her out of the house? It was bad. It was all bad.
She knew better. She knew better.
She should have known better. But, of course, she's a steampunk person, so I'm not surprised about that shit. All that steampunk.
Yeah.
But, now for the Iron Man match.
Just a heads up, we might have to run through their King of Pro Wrestling card again.
Oh, yeah, I can
do that. So set that up for you. But, yes, the main event, the Iron Woman match, Bayley versus Sasha Banks for the NXT Women's Championship. Very, very good match, and I called it 3-2. and Bayley came out victorious. But one of the highlights of the match, Bayley gets thrown into the ramp wall. Actually, I like the ramp design.
It was the LED. Yeah,
the LED with the five little pillars and stuff like that showing their faces, and the it was really, really detailed. I liked it. I want them to keep that for every takeover show. They have that full sale.
Yeah.
But she got thrown into that. It was a belly to belly suplex on the outside. Then you got Sasha Banks just bringing the sass to the fans.
Yo, she healed it up like bad. Like it was crazy. But it was great seeing like Becky. Bayley working the hand and the arm. Definitely that suicide dive into the belly to belly was awesome. The super belly to belly into the foot on the ropes was crazy. The belly to belly by Sasha was dope. And it was a beautiful match. It was crazy. Like I definitely liked the ending though. Like that ruthless aggression from Bayley at the end. After she fought out of the bank statement, spiking Sasha's fingers into the mat, and even kicking Sasha's head in when she was giving her that submission for the win. It was just bananas. It was
crazy. The reverse Rana. They used a lot of stuff from the Brooklyn show.
Yeah, but they used
it. But
they flipped it. Yeah, exactly. That was the good thing about it. They flipped it. And that's what made it better. I definitely feel like this match was probably even better than that match. Than the Brooklyn match.
Now, the thing about the Brooklyn match, like, I didn't know it was going to be that good. I knew it was going to be good because Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch was really good also. But, goddamn, that reverse Rana was so gnarly. Then the belly to belly, then that big crowd, and there was a new champion. It was really, really good. And what they did today at Full Sail was just as good. They did the reverse Rana, and she didn't land on her feet, but she didn't land on her head.
She ain't laying on her head.
And they thought Bayley thought she had it. Then she got scooped up to the Banks to belly suplex and got only a two count. And I was just like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. Now, something that I brought up to my friends on Kick, and I was like, could they go into overtime? And it was definitely possible. Yeah, it was 2-2 till like the last like 3 seconds. When Bayley reversed it, I was kind of pushing for overtime, and I'm not a big overtime fan. You know, I'd rather get in, get out. You know, I don't got to go that extra mile, but the match was so good, I ain't wanted to stop. I was like, yo, 5 more minutes. Let's see who it is. Pinfall submission wins it. But,
one thing I did not know was that there had only been 10 Ironman matches in the WWE total. That's one thing I didn't know. Like, that few. It's crazy because, like, you think, like, oh, if you're, like, say if you're, like, playing the WWE 2K games and shit like that. You play Iron Man matches all the time in those games. So you kind of, like, expect in real life that there has been a good amount of them. But they've been few and far between. And I guess that's kind of what makes them so special. And this one is extra special because it's two women in it, but it was real dope.
Yes, you are correct. I remember only a couple. I don't remember because I believe when you have an Ironman match, there's 15 minutes, there's 30 minutes, and then there's 60.
There's an hour, yeah.
I never seen an Ironman match go over 60. Like, if they had a 90-minute Ironman match, I would slap the shit out of somebody. Of course, you know the Bret Hart one. I'm looking at them now. I'm looking at all 10 right now. Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart was the first one. First one to go to overtime, too. And they went 0-0. You know, and I was like, I don't know how they did that. Now, the Triple H and The Rock one, that's awesome. I love that match. That was a really, really good match. And that went to 6-5. You know, that was when The Undertaker came back. The American Badass one. That was that one. That was in 2000. Now, Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle, they had a 30-man Ironman match, and that went to overtime when they went 3-3, and then Benoit won 4-3. I don't remember that one.
I don't remember that one either.
It was an ultimate submission match, too. Wow.
I probably, the thing is that I saw it, I'm pretty sure I saw it, but I don't remember it.
Right, I'm pretty sure I saw it too. Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, I definitely saw that because that was on SmackDown, and I believe that was their match of the year with Brock winning 5-4.
Yeah.
This one is a 60-man, Iron Man match, and this one on Raw. I don't remember this shit, but, Chris Benoit versus Triple H, I don't remember this at all. I don't know. Benoit won 4-3. John Morrison and Joey Mercury defeated Charlie Haas and Hardcore Holly in a 15-minute Iron Man match for the Tag Team Championship on SmackDown. This is in Canada. I don't remember that either. Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels. This is on Raw. I remember this. And this went to a draw. It was a 30-minute match. They tied it up 2-2. I do remember this vaguely, but I do know it happened on Raw. That's how I remember it. It was an Iron Man match with Shawn Michaels, and it happened on Raw. That was 2005. Wow, I remember that though. This was on ECW, John Morrison and The Miz versus Jimmy Wang Yang and Shannon Moore. This is a 15-minute Iron Man match. I mean, tag teams, 15-minute Iron Man matches, I guess. And that went to a draw, 1-1. And the last one, Bragging Rights. I remember that because I was at Loafers watching this. John Cena versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. And this is Anything Goes, too. So, this is a crazy Iron Man. It was really good. I liked it, but I think Randy Orton couldn't have held on. He had to tap that last second. That's all I'm saying. He could have held on, a little punk. WCW had two. Oh, yeah, I remember this one. The Rick Rude and Ricky Steamboat. That was the one I brought up before on the preview show that will never be aired. And then they had another one in 93 with Dustin Rhodes and Rick Rude, and they went to a draw. TNA, let's see. Yeah, these are all, yeah, just these two. WCW, ECW never had an Iron Man match. Ring of Honor never had an Iron Man match, but they definitely had 60-minute fucking matches, though. They had a ton. they never had an Iron Man match called, actually. They just had a 60-minute match with Roderick Strong and Jay Lethal. The first TNA Iron Man match is AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. They went into overtime, and that was a 30-minute. I don't think they ever went 60. No, all their Iron Man matches was 30 minutes because they're weak as fuck. And that was for the NXT, damn it, TNA X Division Championship. I'm getting mixed up. Then AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels did it again 30 minutes at Bound for Glory. I did see that one. Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe for 30 minutes. I don't remember that one. Huh. Doug Williams and AJ Styles, that was a 15-minute. Iron Man match, add 5 minutes and still no one won. Weird. Bobby Roode versus AJ Styles, and that went to a draw. Bobby Roode and AJ Styles again, but Bobby Roode won 1-0 in 30 minutes. And the Wolves going up against the Dirty Heels, Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, which I actually heard was pretty good. And that was a 30-minute tag team, not a 15-minute tag team. And that Wolves won 2-1. So, they did have a couple Iron Man matches. You don't have a lot, because wrestling for an hour, I don't have the energy to wrestle 15 fucking minutes, let alone an hour. So, for it to be women to do it for 30 minutes, not 15, 30. For women to do that is an honor for them. You chose those two. You heard the chants, women's wrestling. They wanted to see women's wrestling under the WWE banner.
Ain't no diva shit.
They saw women's wrestling on that show. And they wanted to see it. They was hyped to see it. And the main event of a takeover show. Well done. And they delivered. They delivered. Even though I thought Sasha Banks almost damn near decapitated herself by landing on her head from that Japanese arm drag they barely gave her. But she toughed it out. She had a really good showing, making kids cry. You don't make kids cry.
Yo, that was crazy.
And some of us thought it was a plant, making the kid, probably telling the kid to cry before, you know, to make it seem genuine. I think that shit was real. I don't care what anybody says. If they tell me, no, that was work, I'm like, sorry, I believe it's real. That girl had tears over there hugging the father, you know. And the father was just like, oh, I wish they had showed the camera on me. Damn it. But if I was the father, oh, man, I would have let fucking Sasha Banks have that shit. I would damn near hop the rail making my daughter cry. You know, and everybody wanted the daughter to fucking punch Sasha Banks. I did too, not even going to lie, but it's okay, you know. But yeah, you don't make no motherfuckers kids cry. WWE, first of all, doesn't interact with fans during wrestling matches. You know, they might gloat to the crowd, but they're in the ring. They're not jumping in fans' face on the outside. They never do that. So for Sasha Banks to take something off a child's head, wear it, taunt, and then throw it somewhere, unbelievable. That's something they should always do. You know, they do it at the indies all the time. You know, but that's more leeway. In WWE, they're not supposed to talk to the fans. Kevin Owens kind of does it a little bit, but he never, you know, put their hands on it, nothing like that. Get people to hate her. That was the whole deal for that. But I like this match. I don't know if it's better than the Brooklyn match. I'm not too sure. I can't really. It's close. I think it's the same as Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. I don't know if anything's touching that first Brooklyn show because it was so too much in stake. The entrance, the finish, the hand getting crushed. All of that, this match was really good, but I think Brooklyn match was a little bit better. Do you think, which match you think was better? And which show you think was better?
Oh, man, I don't know. Like, the thing is that, I think Brooklyn was the better show overall. Yeah, Brooklyn was the better show overall, but I believe that the overall better match was the Iron Man match. I believe that was the better match. Like, just slightly. I think part of the first match's edge was the fact that there was so much, like, emotion and there was surprise with how great it was, you know?
Yeah.
And the whole emotion with Bayley winning. But this one was just pure greatness, like, for pure greatness. Like, we were going in expecting greatness, and it delivered exceedingly, you know?
Yeah.
So, I definitely say that this one was better.
Scale 1 to 10, would you give TakeOver Respect?
TakeOver Respect, I would give it a 7 out of 10. A lot of it being 7 out of 10 was because of the Iron Man match, because of the Asuka debut, what else? The tag match between Corbin and Rhino versus Gable and Jordan. And then, of course, Apollo Crews and Tyler Breeze was pretty good, but everything else was passable. But yeah, definitely 7 out of 10.
I am going to give this an 8 out of 10. I see nothing wrong with this show at all. Decent opener. Crowd was hot through the entire show. Again, the main event over exceeded expectations. I have yet to be disappointed by NXT. TakeOver show. The women's match was fantastic. I'm surprised that they had a great tag team match in NXT on the TakeOver show. With all of these teams, you got Baron Corbin and Rhino who are just mushed together, killing it with Jason Jordan, who probably had one of the best matches in his career so far, and Chad Gable, who was over as hell. Asuka did her thing, and so did Dana Brooke. She held her own. She has survived. She's still alive. You know. But Apollo Crews and Tyler Breeze maybe might be a little bit under the first tag match.
Yeah.
But that Iron Woman match and the ending with everyone coming out on the stage, that is a big, big plus that they trust these women to close their show under WWE, not like TNA or Ring of Honor or any other like Shine, Shimmer, whatever. WWE doesn't headline anything with women in it. Women normally are the bathroom breaks of that company, normally. For them to have a main event, Iron Woman match, that's amazing. That's record-breaking. That's history right there that WWE is doing under the NXT brand. It ain't on no Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view type deal. This NXT, whatever they're doing in NXT, they're doing it right. They're doing it perfect. You know, they're building. They have story. They have psychology. They have fans that care. You know, it's great. It's great. TNA has yet to disappoint me. Yet to disappoint. King of Pro Wrestling is going to happen on the 12th of October. Doomsday, can you go over the card for the second time, please?
For the first time for the listeners, go over this. So first match, David Finlay, Jay White, Juice Robinson, Sho Tanaka, and Kamatsu versus, Jushin Thunder Liger, Kushida, Mascara Dorada, Taguchi, and Tiger Mask. All of the Young Lions and Juice Robinson are smushed onto one team, so this one is basically a foregone conclusion of the more veteran team winning. Once again, a throwaway match. Second match, Tomoaki Hanma versus Yoshihashi. Hanma has only had one win this year. It's, what, October? I'd be surprised if he picked up a win this round, especially since I believe Yoshihashi needs this one, especially since he's not really going anywhere. And Hanma's gimmick is that he loses all the time, so I'm gonna say that Yoshihashi gets this one. Third match is Captain New Japan, Hirooki Goto, Katsuyori Shibata, and Kota Ibushi versus Tenzan, Nakanishi, Kojima, and Nagata. This one, another throwaway, but just because New Japan is on one team, I'm gonna go against him, so it's going to be the old man squad take win on that one. Fourth match, your clients, Red Dragon, yes, Bob Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly versus Roppongi Vice of Beretta and Rocky Romero. This one could go either way. As I've said before, I believe this junior heavyweight tag team championship is like a hot potato deal. Like, basically anybody could end up picking up the win anytime. Roppongi Vice has amped up their aggression and healed it up, beating up Red Dragon after their win the last event, so I wouldn't be surprised if they picked up the win now. But it would be nice to have some type of lengthy feud for once in the junior heavyweight tag team division, and I think Roppongi Vice would be a great foil for Red Dragon, but I feel like Red Dragon's gonna be able to pick up the win on this one. Next match, Kenny Omega versus Matt Sydal for the junior heavyweight championship. This one could go either way. Mofo Magic has gone on record saying that this, the way this match came about really doesn't make much sense, but it's whatever. I believe Omega's going to end up picking up the win on this one. Next match, Bullet Club B team of Deadlock Fale, Doc Gallows, and Carl Anderson versus Chaos members Sakuraba, Nakamura, and Toriano. I'm going to go with the Chaos guys for this one. Bullet Club B team ain't doing shit, which is which is ironic. I called them the B team, but Doc and Carl are the IWGP tag team champions. but they're considered an afterthought, kind of there and in the States as well. Which is interesting. Maybe Carl Anderson can up his status if he wins that Intercontinental title from Nakamura down the line. I know he's gunning for that. So it should be interesting to see where that goes. Next match, Toji Makabe versus Tomohiro Ishii for the NEVER Openweight Championship. This match, it's going to be another one of those slugfests, classic Makabe, classic Ishii slugfest dealio. This one can go either way. There really hasn't been too much done with the NEVER Openweight Championship when it comes to feuds and the like or whatever. So whoever wins, it really doesn't matter too much. It's just a title someone holds for the most part. But next match would be Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Tetsuya Naito. Naito's been really great healing it up with his Los Ignorables stable gimmick with the new mask and all that healing it up, beating up the refs, beating up the young boys. Love the suit that he rolls up in before matches and shit. This one's interesting for the fact that Tanahashi really didn't have to select a challenger to face him for his own challenge right certificate, which is basically a glorified money in the bank thing, that like number one contenders thing that you go straight to a Wrestle Kingdom with to fight for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. So it could be interesting to see where this one goes, but most likely it's going to be Tanahashi, picking up the win, as, it's been predicted, based on storyline that, this will be a foregone conclusion with, Okada and, Tanahashi doing their final clash or so to really determine who is the number one guy in that company. So, which leads into the next match, Okada versus Styles. As I've said before, it's going to be Okada versus Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom. That's a damn near sure thing. So, I'm 90% sure that Okada is going to end up picking up the win against Styles, even though this match is going to be great. The Naito Tanahashi match is definitely going to be great too. So, this is definitely a really good event to look for. I'm definitely feeling this card more than I felt the Destruction at Kobe card, because you got a lot of great singles matches coming out of this one. About four good singles matches that's gonna really come out of this one. It's gonna be great. So yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Good. I found the whole card to the AAW show, so I'm going to go ahead and go through that. This is going to be on Friday, the October the 9th. This is AAW's Jawbreaker, headlined by good old-fashioned wrestling man in Chicago here. The AAW Heavyweight Championship match, oh, you go Ethan Page going up against the whole shebang, Johnny Gargano, ACH. And King Ricochet going up against Jake and Dave Chris, OI4K. Silas Young, your boy, going up against Rob's client, Trevor Lee. The tag team match featured several wrestlers of Heidi Lovelace, my client, and Candice LeRae going up against Jessica Havoc and Tessa Blanchard. The next matchup that they have is, I believe it's the tag team championships, the AEW Tag Team Championship, Devin and Mason Cutter, the Hooligans, defend their titles against Matt Fitchett and Davey Vega, the Sex for Bombs. In a last man standing match, Tyson Dukes goes up against the War King, Eddie Kingston. And last but not least, the returning Mia Yim will go up against AK-47, Allison Kay. And this is CZW's Tangled Web 8. This is going to be on Saturday, October the 10th at the Fire Escape Zone. Boo. So the matches that they have here start at the bottom. The returning former CZW World Champion Masada, because Nick fucking Gage wants to get arrested. Not wants to, but got arrested. Going up against Rory Gulak, and hopefully he just dispose of him quickly. The Chainsaw, Joe Gacy, going up against the new boxing show, a heel version of AR Fox. The CZW Junior Heavyweight Championship will be defended. Greg Excellent defends against the Super Cup, Dick Justice. Nico Sozio goes up against Pepper Parks. The Product, David Starr, going up against the Juice, JT Dunn. The Wire Championship of Tim fucking Dunst defends his title against the bad, bad boy, Joey Janela. CZW World Tag Team Championships will be on the line as Team Tremendous goes up against the Beaver Boys for the 30th time. The CZW World Championship will be defended. The champion, the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, going up against the former champ, the Black G's, putting up his rematch clause. And in the Tangled Web Death Match, the main event of the show, this should be ending feud as the Nation of Intoxication of Lucky 13, Connor Claxton, Danny Havoc, and Devin Moore going up against OI4K's Jake and Dave Chris, Eric Ryan, and Alex Colon. I'm actually glad Alex Colon is back, because I was, as soon as I was like, where the hell is Alex Colon? And then he comes right back joining OI4K. So, those were the cards for this weekend. I don't have anything else. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. We actually did do 5-star wrestlers. We won't be going through them again, but we did do them. It was by, JK Tumble on Tumblr. And, he chose, Sabu, Tully Blanchard, Cobalt, Kurgan, and Bobby Eaton. Beautiful Bobby Eaton. And, me and Doomsday really didn't have much to say on some of these guys, besides, Cobalt and Sabu?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, Mofo Magic, who was here previously, the Stay Live Not Jive guy, he had more insights on Sabu, and a little bit on Tully Blanchard, and beautiful Bobby Eaton said he was really underrated. But, like I said, it was all on the first half of the show. We was talking about TNA having their Bound for Glory, and Matt Hardy becoming the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion until TNA made him relinquish the title for a reason I totally forgot. Probably didn't care much. Now they're going to have a title series or some sort of the fuck.
The world title series.
The world title series. And yes, the TNA knockouts are included. Dixie Carter gives no fucks.
Apparently they got a new little set, digital, like, green screen set for their announcing people or whatnot. It was actually looked kind of cheap. Saw that shit on Twitter. I was like, they were hyping it up. Like, who was it? Dave Lagana and Dixie Carter were hyping it up, saying like, oh, look at our new set. I'm like, nah, that shit looks like something that MCW puts out on YouTube. I'm dead serious.
When does this world title series even start? By the way, Austin Aries is back.
Doesn't it start now?
Who knows?
I don't know, man.
I don't fucking know. What are they doing, man? What are they doing? Seriously. What else? Like, do they want to stay alive? Like, do they want to stay alive? Okay. Look like there's groups. There's a group UK. There's group champions, group knockouts, and I think that's the only groups that they have here. From the looks of it, group UK with featuring Drew Galloway, Rockstar Spud, Bram, and Grotto, and they got points here. So Drew Galloway has 3 points. Rockstar Spud has 3 points, each with one match. That was on Wednesday, and another match they have, group champions of Lashley, Austin Aries, EC3, and Mr. Anderson, all former world champions, and Lashley is the only one with 3 points, Austin Aries with one, and EC3 with one, Mr. Anderson, zero. Group knockouts, former knockouts champions of Brooke Tessmacher, Awesome Kong, Gail Kim, and Madison Rain. The only one with points is Awesome Kong and Brooke. I don't know how they, okay, I guess whoever has the most points is going to face each other. I guess from each group. I think that's how they're doing it. Oh, God. I don't know. I think we all just need to just wait and see. UK champions and knockouts. Three different groups that can, I don't know, whatever. You got any thoughts on this TNA title series thing?
Man, I don't care about that. I
just want them to tell them, just throw in the towel. I really don't want to. Because I care. I don't want TNA to go under. They're like the roaches that just lived through an apocalypse. Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know. And it's like, why do they do it? Why do they do these things? But, okay. We're going to close up shop then, because it's getting late. That was TakeOver. I hope you guys watch it over and over and over again. Enjoy it. It was a really fun show. I enjoyed myself. Doomsday, you want to plug your stuff or anything you want to bring up?
Of course, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, doomsday519 on Daily Motion, even though I don't use this shit no more, Doomsday Space Gorilla, as in PWG Gorilla, spelling on YouTube, that's my alternate YouTube channel, my main YouTube channel, Doomsday Space 519. On there, check out my videos on there, probably upload something within the next week or so. I don't know, I'll just figure something out. But yeah, that's it.
Alright, at NMZ Podcast, we just had our 2-year anniversary for the video game portion of the NMZ Podcast. That was actually a really good listen as we talked about Street Fighter V. Tony Hawk 5, which just came out, and why it's so bad and glitchy. We also talk about how I've been late for a spammer at school when I play Super Smash Brothers with Samus Aran. So if y'all like any type of video games or the names that I've just said, it's been a nice episode. That's a really good show. About an hour long. Do we have a thing when we leave here? Hey, 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 smoke weed every day.
Hey, 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 hey. Smoke weed every day.
Every single day. And this is coming from a drug-free guy here. Talk about me.
Hey, man, I haven't smoked anything in, I believe, over a month. Maybe two. It's been a while. Actually, no. When was, I think it was maybe a month and a half. When was,
The last time you smoked?
Yeah.
That was during my draft. My fantasy draft.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was on a Sunday of some sort.
That was like before 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, something like that.
Yeah.
It was about a month. I'll give
right. Yeah, it was about a month ago. You're doing well. Probably about you.
Well, that's right.
All right. So, as we said, it's our ending quote here. Hey, 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 hey.
Like weed every day.
Good night, y'all. And sorry for the first.